The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article that I've written titled The Theology of Jesus. What's the connection between the Church's Confession of Christ and her Confession of the Trinity? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Mason Beecroft writes about the false promises of Pop American Christianity. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
But as I've said before, and I repeat it to President Hu, we have some core views as Americans about the universality of certain rights, freedom of speech, freedom of religion.
The terminology that I used, I believe, seemed to disenfranchise other religions, and it certainly was not meant to do that.
Neither side, whether political left or political right, should claim Jesus as he's our mascot.
Luther is offering us a conservative reformation to not throw out things that the Roman Church does just because they do it. That's an overreaction.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
He is young, we know this much, at least at the time of some of Paul's writings. He's considered perhaps too young to take on the responsibility that Paul had entrusted him with. St. Paul the Apostle, of course, makes Timothy bishop in Ephesus. This is not an easy task. This is not a light assignment. This is difficult. This is the heart of pagan worship and one of the major Christian centers in the world at the time. Paul had spent 3 years there, and when he handpicks a successor, it is none other than faithful Timothy. But he still urges Timothy constantly toward faithfulness. Watch your teaching and your doctrine. Watch your life. Thereby you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Follow the sound pattern of words that you learned from me. All of this pastoral advice from Paul the Apostle to Pastor Timothy. But does Timothy have anything for Christians other than pastors to remember on this day? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. this Monday afternoon, January the 24th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be talking about St. Timothy. Dr. Peter Scare will be our guest for the first few minutes of the program. Then later in the program, Dr. Matt Phillips of Concordia University, Nebraska will join us. We're going to begin a 5-part daily series on the Crusades, often maligned, often misunderstood, or underinformed about this historic event. Actually, it's a long series of events. We'll be talking about the origins of the Crusades and the First Crusade in this, the first of 5 parts with Dr. Phillips. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC, or leave a question or a comment on the Crusades at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Dr. Peter Scare is our guest. He joins us to remember St. Timothy. He's Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Peter, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Yeah, glad to be with you, Todd.
Let's start with a favorite quote, even though we don't have anything from Timothy's pen per se. We have two very important letters from none other than St. Paul addressed to Timothy. What's your favorite part in those two letters?
I don't know. There are a number of ones, and to choose one, but I do like his words of encouragement to fight the good fight of faith, and I like the strengthening which he offers him, saying, fan the flame, that's to say, the gift of ordination that was given to him. So those are words of powerful encouragement to Timothy as a future church leader. But I suppose my favorite would be the most personal, I think, and I love 2 Timothy because it's Paul's in prison, and he's looking back at his ministry, and he's seeing the end of his life in view. And you can see how much Paul wants Timothy to come to him. And he says, do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me. And then he says, at my first offense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. And he's calling for Timothy to come. To come to see him in prison, and what I like about that it reminds us the ministry can be a very solitary thing, I think, especially maybe in the Lutheran churches, where we're each in our own congregation as a pastor. But it reminds us that we're really not alone, that even though we serve as pastors, we are a band of brothers, and that as pastors, we're brothers to one another in the faith. And I witnessed that this week when I was with fellow pastors. We had a symposium at our seminary, and pastors from all over the country came. And the greatest thing that happens there is the mutual encouragement of the brothers to be one another, to share in their sorrows, to celebrate their victories. And I think this is what it means for Paul to be with a brother pastor who is also his son in the faith, one who he helped to train up in the faith in a kind of seminary way, also becomes his brother, and he calls for him at the end of his life, and I think that's beautiful.
So there's a familial bond, especially here, between the apostle and, at the time, this young pastor. How did Timothy come to be, at even a young age, Bishop of Ephesus, one of the largest Christian centers in the ancient world?
Well, you know, see, Paul recognized talent. Paul was never alone. Even as he's preaching, he's recruiting everywhere. So he became part of Paul's ministry in the middle of the book of Acts, right after he breaks up with Barnabas. He takes Silas with him, and then he meets along the way Timothy, and Timothy became a fellow minister with him. And Timothy, he was one who was not circumcised, but then became circumcised for the sake of the Jews to whom he was ministering, so that he not cause an offense. But that young pastor, I mean, I think we make a mistake if we think simply in terms of Timothy as being a young pastor. In fact, he was from very early on being groomed for leadership. And I know in some churches this is done a little bit in a good way. That I know in the Catholic Church, for instance, they spot their future bishops already when they're at the seminary. And I think there's something like that going on here. Paul recognizes that Timothy will not only be a faithful minister, but he has the capacity, both spiritually, mentally, in every way, then to be the one to whom he will pass on the mantle. And, you know, when Paul ends 2 Timothy, he says, bring my scrolls and bring my cloak. And that cloak, to me, I don't know exactly what that is. I think it's a liturgical garment. And I wonder whether it's not the passing on of the baton, in the sense that, remember when Elijah was the prophet, and he knew his ministry was coming to an end. He had a cloak that he gave to Elisha, who would carry then on that ministry. And I think that Paul saw in people like Timothy the heir apparent to his apostolic ministry. So Timothy quickly took on a position of leadership and learned from the great one, Paul himself. And then he himself, Timothy, became a bishop and a leader of other pastors.
He actually is probably among the kind of a rarity in the New Testament, at least the early era of the New Testament, that we know of, be raised in a Christian home.
Yeah, we do know at the beginning that he's got a mother, Lois, and a grandmother, Eunice, who seem to have been Christians. So when Paul does meet him, he knows what he's dealing with. I see it all the time when young people come to the seminary. Some of them come and you almost feel a little embarrassed. You feel, what do I have to teach this person? Because they're already so well-groomed for what they're going to do. Of course, they still have more to learn, and Timothy no doubt also had more to learn. But he was raised in a Christian way, perhaps also by Jews who then converted to Christianity. So he was well-equipped from his own home life to assume the task that our Lord would give him through Paul.
He faces in his ministry at Ephesus a pagan backlash, not only the same one that Paul faced while establishing the church there, but it sounds as though he continues to face it. Paul is constantly urging him to faithfulness. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, Timothy's going to have to walk in the footsteps of Paul. And, you know, the one thing about him urging Timothy on to faithfulness, I do think when you read the pastoral letters, for instance, that he urges Timothy to be faithful, he's also providing cover, I suppose, for Timothy. That is to say, and this is so important, one of the reasons we have call documents in our church bodies, the call documents tell the candidate what it is he is supposed to do as pastor. And one of the things, I mean, he's supposed to be faithful to the creeds, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and in our church body, faithful to the Lutheran confessions. And this is urged upon the candidate, and he makes these vows before the congregation that he will uphold this, the faith given by our fathers. But that serves a double purpose. It not only is an admonition to the pastor that he will be faithful, but this is also to clue the congregation in, or the church in, onto what is to be expected of their pastor, so that when the pastor then upholds the confession and said, I'm sorry, it's this and not that, it's yes and not no, or no and not yes, when he actually shows them what Scripture says, the congregation then cannot complain, that is to say, oh, I don't like that, because the congregation or the pastor is able to say, yes, you called me here to be your pastor, but you called me to uphold the faith which you yourself confess. And this is so important, and this is where, in a church, we need to support our fellow pastors when they are being faithful to their ordination vows, when they are being faithful to that which they promised to preach and that which the congregation promised to hear, then they should be upheld by not only by the congregation, but by the church as a whole. And this is the kind of ministerial support that is absolutely vital if you want to continue to preach the gospel according to its truth and purity. And I think St. Paul is going to support that effort, and then Timothy is going to support that effort for the next generation as well.
All right, when we come back, what would this young pastor in Ephesus have been facing? What would it have been like to be left pastor of this large, complicated situation in Ephesus by the Apostle Paul in one of the greatest pagan centers in the world? We're remembering St. Timothy along with the rest of the church. Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, is our guest. The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article that I've written titled The Theology of Jesus. What's the connection between the Church's Confession of Christ and her Confession of the Trinity? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Mason Beecroft writes about the false promises of Pop American Christianity. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about St. Timothy. The Church remembers Timothy, pastor, confessor, on this day, Monday, January the 24th. Dr. Peter Scare is our guest for a few more minutes. Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. After that, we'll begin a five-part daily series on the Crusades. Today, the origins of the Crusades and the First Crusade. Dr. Matt Phillips of Concordia University, Nebraska, will be our guest. Then Pastor Chris Eskett of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia, will be our guest. We're going to talk with him about an event that just got over with, the event proper, the March for Life in our nation's capital. That's coming up a little bit later on Issues, Etc. Dr. Scare, with the baton being passed from Paul to Timothy in Ephesus, what would Timothy have faced there as a pastor?
Well, he would have, I guess he would have faced a growing pagan opposition. He would have faced an empire which is beginning to, well, has already for quite a while recognized that Christianity is in some way a threat. We know from the letters of Ignatius around this time that Ignatius himself was going to meet the beasts there in the amphitheater, that he was being brought to Rome in order to face martyrdom. So there would have been opposition on that account or in that phrase, and I also think there would have been naysayers who would have doubted the ministry and tried to divert a person like Timothy from his course. Because it's one thing to say the church is being led by the apostles, those who were eyewitnesses to Christ Jesus, and they can vouch for it. To take the gospel to the next generation is indeed a challenge, and that's what Timothy was entrusted to do. And in a sense, that's what we are to do as well. So when we uphold the scriptures, we now uphold the apostolic scriptures, depending on the eyewitnesses of the apostles themselves. So I guess the challenge, though, is to be invigorated by those apostolic witnesses and let them be your guiding light, and not to be dissuaded by, I suppose, new teachings or the teachings of the world.
With only about 20 seconds, we've talked a lot about Timothy with respect to him as a pastor. As we observe Timothy on this day, what can all of us, pastors, lay people, learn from this faithful saint?
I think that we learn to think generationally, that we recognize that the faith that we have been given is a gift not only from God but from our fathers who went before us. And then as we think generationally, we recognize it's incumbent upon us, it is our duty, to also give that faith to the next generation. And that means faithful teaching to all of our people, and that means the raising up of young men who will be faithful pastors for our children and our grandchildren.
Dr. Peter Scare is Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Peter, thank you very much for your time.
It's been my pleasure, Todd.